Welcome to GLHF, the world's first podcast in video games. We are here in Minecraft.
I liked that.
Yeah, I like that too. I keep forgetting to say
that.
One day we'll learn how to podcast, but that day hasn't come yet.
Yeah, that day is not today.
We're here in Minecraft. I can't believe I keep forgetting games we can do this in. And, you know, one of these days also maybe we'll plan which games we're going to do more than 30 seconds before the podcast starts.
No, that's another thing that is not happening anytime soon. Eventually we'll figure it out. It would be, if we had infinite money and infinite time, there are a lot of excellent games that we could do. I think, like, imagine the amount of just general multiplayer games that we could do this
for
in.
For sure. There's endless possibilities. So we need to just do the YouTuber thing and get a whiteboard and put all the weeks on a whiteboard and plan like 8 weeks in advance.
Is that a YouTuber thing? Is that just like a person who wants to have an organized life thing?
Both, I guess.
Like, YouTubers didn't invent using a whiteboard.
You always have multiple things planned in advance.
Yes, I do. It's all in my telephone.
Really?
But yes, I use my telephone calendar and I have an app that is my to-do list. I like the idea of a whiteboard, but what happens is you forget to look at it or you don't feel like looking at it and it kind of loses the novelty, which also can happen with an app. So I guess at the end of the day, it's all on you, but I like the idea of a whiteboard.
Yeah,
but it's
I
just
have a
not,
little whiteboard that I use for, I mean, I have to write everything down or I don't remember anything and I get sucked
Absolutely.
Into one task and I just do that all day and I forget that there were five other things I needed to do. So I have a whiteboard for like the current day where I just write when I like think of things I need to do. I just write it down and then I do them all.
Do you do them? Do you write them in the order that you want to do them, or do you just write them and then do them?
No, I write them in the order that they come into my brain because, literally, my memory is in a state where if I am thinking of three things and then I take 1 second to be like, which order do I want to write them down in? I'll forget two of the things.
So you just write them. So do you then do them in the order that you wrote them?
No, I figure out the order later.
So, but you don't have a method. You don't go like, I'm going to eat the frog, you know?
Usually I eat a frog every morning.
That's how you're supposed to start the day.
Yeah. I just kind of swallow it like bodybuilders swallow eggs. Like
That's
whole eggs.
You're going to make me hurl on the show.
What, thinking about swallowing eggs?
Yeah. Even eating eggs is difficult for me, and they're really good for you. So, like, I try to do it.
I just had an egg and cheese bagel. I love an egg and cheese.
No, but I'm saying, like, how easy is it just to eat one scrambled egg, like cold?
Why? I mean, you're adding things now. If you're adding that it's cold, you're making it gross on purpose. But
what I'm saying is
a scrambled egg in isolation. No, I'll eat a scrambled egg with some potatoes.
Yeah, you got to have something because it's gross.
But,
and this is why the price of eggs should keep going up because we don't need them. They're gross.
It's an interesting food because it's gross if you think about it too hard. So if you just don't think about
exactly.
it. Exactly. I think it's easier.
But isn't most foods, right, that animals eat in the wild is just eating another animal? Not most, but like a lot of animals, right?
Yeah.
So all foods except plants are gross if you think about them too much. Even plants, you could get grossed out by. Like a mushroom?
I can't do mushrooms. Gross. Do you do mushrooms? I don't remember.
I do like a good mushroom. There's some mushrooms that are harder to eat, but just like straight up white mushrooms chopped up, put them on a thing and whatever, pretty good.
I realized? What?
When we were talking about whiteboards, and I was like, eat the frog, and you're like, I eat a frog every morning. And I don't know if you have heard that phrase, eat the frog, because you made a good joke about it, and then we talk about eggs.
No, that's a phrase. You know that? No.
Yes, it's a phrase people say. It's a thing that, like, productivity people are like, you should, whenever you have your to-do list, you should always do the worst thing on it right away, and your productivity will go way up.
Oh.
I'm actually convinced, after, because I, you know, I'm a big, what's that guy's name that you really like? David Goggins? No. Who's that guy,
really
that bodybuilder
like?
Guy that you love?
I don't know.
Or not love, but you look up to him. It's that bald guy.
You mean
and he's
from,
always like, you
from
gotta
my
stay
like
on
Winter
the grind.
Arc video? I don't remember.
Yes, that guy.
Don't remember.
Well, whoever
his name.
That was. I'm convinced now. This is what I've decided, and you tell me how you feel, okay? Ready?
Yeah.
I think most self, like, or productivity boosting, like, tricks are actually boosting your feeling of being productive more than your productivity. I don't think any of, I think that's the actual thing that most of these self-help people are selling is the feeling of being self-helped, not actually being self-helped. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think a lot of self-help stuff is kind of a scam because it's inherently something that you have to figure out for yourself because everybody's different. You have to find a system that works for you. But
right.
I think there is actual science behind the fact that the feeling of productivity does make you more productive.
Oh, is that right? In that case, then I take everything back because that's perfectly fine.
Because that's the point of, you know? Doing... That's why you're supposed to just start doing something if you're feeling like procrastinating and you don't really want to do anything. As soon as you do the first thing, then you have some momentum to do other things because you're like, oh, I actually can do things.
I mean, it makes you do more things.
Yeah. So I think there is something real to that.
Okay. I take it back.
That's fine.
I just was testing it out because I think I get tricked a lot because I feel like a lot of the times I tend to do things that like prioritize my feeling of progress more than my actual progress. You know? Like, and a lot of times progress doesn't come with the feeling of progress.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like a tricky thing if you're prioritizing, like, I want to feel like I'm making progress over I'm making progress. And so then I decided that self-help was all a conspiracy. But you've now talked me down.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that feeling, though, of you can get stuck in a trap sometimes if you're kind of having a bad day and you don't really want to do stuff or you don't feel like you've been doing enough stuff. And then you try to kind of bargain in your mind of like, what do I have time left for? Okay, maybe if I can do this one thing, then I'll feel like the day wasn't wasted or whatever, which is not always
but
a
to your
healthy
point, that's still,
way to think.
That still is generating, you're still getting something done that ostensibly is good to do. Right? So it's still good. Assuming the thing you're talking about is like, oh, I should clean my room, you know?
Yeah, for sure. It's fine. But, you know, I try not to believe in making moral judgments about myself based on what I did in the day, because it's not always productive to do that.
Okay. So David Goggins, actually totally fine.
I don't know anything about him other than those couple of clips I put in that video, so I'm not going to endorse. Is that even who I'm talking about?
Yeah, I think that's his name. I just Googled him, and this looks like him. I did just see he has a lot of military awards, so maybe...
Yeah, I think he was a big military guy, so who knows about the true state of his mind.
Unshackle Your Mind and Win the War Within. That's one of his books.
Yeah.
Kind of
cool. His whole thing seems to be, you know, this kind of masculine, just make yourself do stuff and then you'll be great.
You know, what sucks is that for me, that totally works. That's actually how I need, like, that's my quickest route to feeling good about my life is just bullying myself into doing the right thing. And it genuinely makes me feel better about everything. So I don't espouse that because I don't want to spread that ideology, but it does work for me.
You know, it's a fine line, I think, because shame is not good for you. Nobody should be shaming themselves into doing stuff.
I shame myself all the time, and it works really well, and I'm very happy.
That's a whole different conversation.
Again, I'm not espousing. I'm just telling you what works for me.
Well, I also lived by motivation through shame for a long time in college, and it wasn't a long-term solution for me.
And maybe it isn't for me. Maybe
I
will go off a cliff.
Now. But,
and then when I go off a cliff, I'll come to you for advice.
Yeah, sure. Love that. Anybody going through, what do I want to say? Quarter-life crisis or like a...
Master's
you know,
degree.
ego death. Feel free to contact me about your ego death.
You are kind of post-ego, I feel like, at this point.
Well, it sounds a little egotistical to say I'm post-ego, I think.
But I said
I don't think
it.
Anybody... I think everybody learns and grows for their whole life, and I will continue to, but I certainly, like, had a bit of a overhaul of my mental state recently.
And
I need to talk to Dr.
thing.
K. I need to talk to Healthy Gamer Dr. K, and I've said this in multiple public videos, and I'll say it again, because I want to be on his show and talk about
this.
Oh,
yeah, he's very attractive as well. Like Dr. Mike. Oh, my God, him and Dr. Mike had a conversation.
I think they did a long time ago.
All right, that's where I'm starting. Dr.
I was right
K.
before this pod, I was watching, I think literally as we speak, he's still doing a stream with Squeaks, which lots of people know I love Squeaks. He's just like a funny Twitch streamer guy.
Squeaks.
He's so lovely and wonderful and funny.
Squeaks.
So shout out to Squeaks too. Let's collab.
Squeaks with an X.
I'm manifesting. Dr. K streams with content creators and just regular people sometimes, but it's been mostly content creators recently, about mental health stuff, because it's his whole channel is about mental health stuff.
Okay. That's interesting.
I love
Dr.
K.
I mean, he's like a licensed doctor, right?
Yes, yes. He's like a psychiatrist. He has like many, many years of therapy that he's done.
Can you do... So it's not like therapy, I assume, because I don't
I mean, there's plenty of disclaimers at the beginning that this is for entertainment purposes. It gets kind of therapy-esque,
I see,
people agree to be on it, and they know that it's live-streamed, and they don't have to talk about anything
and
they don't want
to. And he probably can't prescribe or diagnose
or anything
like that. Okay, interesting.
So it's just conversations. But
how do you think he would feel about me saying that I want to be shamed until I get my work done?
I think he would ask
you
ask
some
very poignant questions about that.
I'm not talking to this guy. No way. I don't need that. You ask him for me when you talk to him. That should go on your vision board.
I think he would ask you some great questions and you would get some insights.
No way.
I
don't want insights. That's the last thing I need.
Well.
But you should put on your vision board 1 year from now, be on Dr. K. Because you could get there.
I think I can.
We're manifesting that for you
right
now. I just
need more subs to be relevant enough to be on his show. But
does he mostly talk to streamer people or does he do like YouTubers?
I think either way. I think it doesn't matter. I think a lot of the times people get on his stream that have a big enough fan base where their fan base like asks for it to happen.
Now we're talking.
So I just need
You're
more
good
numbers.
At getting your fan base to do things.
Yeah, I don't know.
So just start pushing.
Everybody
we'll
spam Dr. K to talk to me. Maybe once I get to 100 and then I'll feel like a real YouTuber.
You're probably getting pretty close, right? You got to be, 60 something? I saw that movie last night. Anora. It won the award.
Yeah, I like how you just say that movie. Like, I know what you're talking about.
Well, the award movie.
Do you have opinions about it? I also saw it.
The only thing I'd like to say is, first of all, it was significantly better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a real bummer. I thought it was going to be one of those effed up movies like we talked about with the movie where the guy got his head smashed in with a hammer. I thought I was going to be in for just like a stressful ride. And not that it wasn't. But as soon as I realized it was the guy who did the Florida Project, I was like, okay, I can watch this.
It was a smaller story than I thought it was going to be. From the trailers, I thought they were going to be involved in like some major like mafia war or something. And that's not what it is.
That's interesting. Because I was sold on it as though it was like mostly about like the traumas of sex work. And again, not that it didn't have anything to do with that. But it was really mostly like a character study of someone who does that work. And like it has some things to say about that and some things to say about all sorts of different things. But it was really funny, which I really appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
Like it has a real human funniness to it. And it is extremely similar to Grand Theft Auto 4, which
I
tweeted
or
bleesked out. Bleesked.
Yeah, what's the consensus on what we call a blue sky post?
Where I think we should just keep calling them tweets. They're not using Twitter for the other website anymore.
I still say
tweet. We're just gonna take tweet and use it for because the blue sky. Use birds tweet in the blue sky.
Exactly.
It's fine. But yeah, it's basically Grand Theft Auto 4. The whole, like, after the first 20 minutes, that whole segment where it kind of turns into, like, a comedy road trip movie for a little bit is very GTA 4 coded in terms of, like, the... Because GTA 4 also has a lot... It's, like, Eastern European or, like, post-Soviet bloc people in that area. It's set in that exact area of New York. And just a lot of, like, funny people being funny, but in, like, a weird way. It was very good. I thought it was an awesome movie. I don't know if you felt the same, but I thought it was very good.
I thought it was good. I thought, for me, there was too much ass in it. There was too much scantily clad lady shaking ass in it. I don't know.
I saw the Christian people's complaining about that too. Like, this
I don't
is
know.
A porno.
I'm not trying to be like prude, but I don't know. I'm just kind of tired of seeing it. I think that you can tell a woman's story without showing her ass all the time. I felt the same way about The Substance, actually. Like, I got...
Was there a lot of ass in Substance?
Yeah, I guess if you haven't seen that, I won't spoil anything, but the major theme of it, one of the major themes of it, is beauty standards and aging, and so there's this comparison between basically a younger and an older version of the same woman. And there's a lot of shots on her younger version's body and ass and boobs. And I get that that's like...
What about the older version?
The point.
I feel like, come on.
So, and I get that, you know, people will say that's because they're trying to emphasize how young and hot she is. Because that's what... you know, the older version is insecure about not being anymore or whatever. But I don't know. I've seen a lot of female asses in my life. I just don't think you need more than like a couple seconds to make that point. And then you can just focus on other things.
I do. Do you feel the same way about male asses?
I think so. I mean, it's so, I don't have as
don't
much
as
of
many.
An example of
there were some male asses
are,
in this movie, though. Many times, I would say.
Sure,
but when people
it's
do
just
the types
not to
of things,
the level that it is with women, obviously.
Yes, yeah. I think interestingly, it didn't. It didn't strike me that much in Anora in particular. Maybe just because the subject matter. I felt it was they very plainly showed the subject matter, that it didn't feel extra emphasized to me. We did see that skinny Russian guy.
I don't know, maybe I'm just...
tush a lot, and that's okay. The skinny Russian guy had a tush. It's hard to engage in the things he was engaging in without having your tush out.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that makes it... You end up seeing it, I guess, right? He's a...
Yeah,
that's the type of stuff he wanted to do with his body. So he did. Aside from that, though, would like especially after the first 20 minutes of the movie, most of that is done. And there's a long portion of the movie where there's basically none of that. Would you say you thought it was funny?
Yeah, for sure. There were funny moments.
Okay. It sounds like you're not as hot on it as me. This is okay. You're allowed to not be. It, you know.
It was.
Have you seen any other Oscar nominees that you did like?
Let me look up the Oscar nominees.
I do still really want to see The Brutalist, so maybe I'll have a movie report.
Yeah, I saw that was a nominee, and I was like, oh my gosh, Austin has to actually watch that.
Yes, and I do intend to. I forgot I talked about that on the show. I kept almost going to see it at this movie theater, but it never lined up because it's 4 hours long, and all the showings were at like 8 p.m. So I was like, ugh.
Hold on, I'm trying to look up the freaking nominees. I don't know why this is taking me so long. 2024.
That's okay. I will also...
Okay, Anora, The Brutalist. So Anora won. I don't even know.
I believe Anora won. And
Brutalist,
then there was like
unknown.
That Pope movie.
Right.
Oh yeah, we saw Wicked. And we
Dune
both...
2,
you really liked
Wicked.
I liked Wicked.
Of course I love Wicked. Oh, The Substance was
makes
there.
Sense.
There's a couple of these I actually... wanted to watch. I heard Nickel Boys is really good, and I don't know anything about it, but apparently it's like filmed in a first person perspective. Sounds interesting.
They did a movie like that like 10 years ago, I remember. But it was like a gamer movie. It was like a first person shooter, but as a movie. And they filmed it all in first person. I know.
That doesn't sound good.
I don't think it was very good. The novelty of it was interesting, I think, but I didn't see it. I don't remember what it was called, but, you know.
Did you ever see A Complete Unknown? I did not see that.
I did see A Complete Unknown.
We might have talked about that on the pod.
It was pretty good. You know, it's very Hollywood in a way that it's good. I like Hollywood-y movies that are, like, easy to watch and good.
Mm-hmm.
And the music's good, so there you go.
I don't pay a lot of attention to these award shows. It's interesting that I guess Timothy's on there twice then with A Complete Unknown and Dune.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Dune. That was last year. I thought that was 2 years ago.
It must have been early.
Holy smokes, these movies just keep on coming and they don't stop coming.
I've been really enjoying the Dune series. I'm excited.
The books?
For the next one. The movies. I don't have time to read those books.
Yes, the second movie was incredibly good, I thought. It was very good. The first one was good, but just different.
All those books have a million pages. Who's got time for that?
Oh my God. Ain't that... I mean, seriously, read the Bible, really, if you're gonna get into a book.
Jesus.
I have a funny thing to tell you. I have to admit something.
Mm-hmm.
You remember how 2 weeks ago we were trash talking. When I say we, I mean me.
Yeah.
Eddie Burback. And then I felt so bad that I went and watched some of his videos to just make sure that I believed what I was saying. And then I came back and I said I was wrong. Well, last week we were trash talking Mr. Jim, Mr. Beast, Jim, the YouTube man.
Did you?
And I felt bad about that. I was
you
like, we were really making fun of this guy.
That? Did Why, you go okay. watch Mr. Beast and change your
so
mind?
So I said, let me
Are
just.
You a fan?
I just wanted to make sure. Just let me finish. I just wanted
to
make
sure.
You said
to interrupt sure you more.
That. I just wanted to make sure that. That I stood by what I said, and I wasn't just saying things to be like, oh, it's fun to shit on Mr. Beast.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I can tell you. I do think his videos are mostly not that good, but I did watch two that I thought were really good. And it's embarrassing. But
wow.
There were two of them that I was like, you know, he might have been onto something with this. And it was the one where they did the... $1 yacht versus the $1 million yacht. I thought that was a really fun video. Unironically, that was fun. It was interesting to see. And then the other one was the one where he was like, every day you stay in this grocery store. He buys a whole grocery store. I mean, allegedly, who knows what's actually happening.
Yeah.
And he says, every day you stay in this grocery store, I'll give you $10,000. You can stay as long as you want. And I thought that video was also very heartwarming and very nice. And it was good. So, you know, I stand by the fact that he has no innate charisma. I think I'm still totally correct about that.
Yeah.
And I still think it's amazing.
He's made a lot of videos where people afterwards said it was basically psychological torture and they're like damaged from it.
I still haven't seen, again, maybe this week I'll go do a deep dive on psychological torture allegations against Mr. Beast. I still haven't seen anything that struck me as any worse than anything you would see on TV normally, which some of which I would also consider psychological torture. But I don't know. If you can point me to a specific video, I will go take a peek and I'll go look.
There was one that was basically like an isolation experiment where he put this guy in an isolated room. I didn't watch the video, but I saw a bunch of videos from the guy that did it that was like, you know, a former friend of Jimmy. I keep forgetting his name.
He was like, it's really bad and I'm dying.
It basically just sounded like it was super disorganized and they kept adding things to the challenge on the spot. Like, it sounds like he doesn't plan out everything that's going to happen. It's just that if he thinks of something that he thinks is going to be more entertaining in the moment, then he'll just do it. So basically this guy just like didn't really fully understand what he was getting into and really
which would be on Mr. Beast, obviously, right? You have to explain what everyone's getting into. So in that case, obviously that would be very bad.
But he was like in bad spot financially and just did it for the money.
Did he get the money or did he not even make it?
See, this is bad that I'm even talking about this because I...
I'm going to research this for you. I'm going to research this for us, and I'm going to do a whole deep dive on the pod next week,
yeah.
Okay?
Okay, that'd
we're
going to
do
great.
A whole Solitary Confinement Mr. Beast deep dive. And I do see when I search Mr. Beast Isolation, the top two videos are Mr. Beast subjecting himself to solitary confinement, which is interesting. One of them is 7 days, which is quite a long time. So there he is. And then this one says... I might have to re-reverse my thing because I keep seeing his titles. And it just says, $10,000 every day you survive prison. Which is so fucked up. So, you know, I just wanted to...
The whole premise of his videos is fucked up.
I don't want to be someone who just says things, you know, just because... Especially if it's about other people. So I just wanted to clarify that he has two good videos. And most of the other ones I watched, of which was three... I genuinely thought were pretty bad and like not even very well made.
Yeah,
I thought he could use some tips, in my opinion. But you know, who am I? 200 million views. Just saying.
Can I just make an observation here about you?
Please. Yeah.
You are constantly nonstop talking about how you think you're going to get into beef with people. You want to get into beef with people. You have a lot of like fighting energy. And then every single time you've ever said anything remotely beefy about somebody, you take it back immediately. So I'm just curious, where does the fighting energy come from? Because it's clearly like not real. Or maybe
you're so right.
Maybe you like want to fight people, but you are scared to. I don't know what it is, but
do you think it would be better if you're actually fighting.
You're like all bark and no bite. You've never ever fought with anybody, but you talk about it all the time.
But I get what you're saying is I'm not only all bark and no bite. I'm all bark and no bite, and then I take back the barks.
Yes, exactly.
So you might be right. You might be onto something.
I think you need to get into kickboxing or something to get this like rage out of your system. I don't know. Or maybe all you need is the fantasy of the fight. Is that satisfying enough to you?
Maybe. Well, I think what I'm hoping is that because what happens is it takes two pods for me to take back the bark. And maybe what I'm hoping is that in between the pods, that the pod will be big enough that just the barking in the first pod will be enough to start a beef. Because once people start fighting me, I want to fight them more. So maybe what I'm doing is this is just me guessing. Maybe I'm putting it out there into the world so that someone will start fighting me. But then because no one starts fighting me, I then feel bad for trying to fight them because they didn't fight back. So I just need to pick targets that are more sensitive who will actually start to fight me so that I can fight them. Could be. But you are correct that if we take a step back,
the part where you feel bad is not something that a person that actually wanted to fight would feel.
How do I get rid of that?
How do you get rid of that?
Like, how do I not feel that way?
Probably masculinity and shame, like you were saying, works for you before. I think you need to push that deep, deep down.
So I need to get more into it? Or it might not be working in that case then, if it's making me too sensitive. Can you find like a version of a therapist that does the opposite?
Like someone de-therapizes you?
Yes. I wonder, maybe I'll look that up. We'll figure that out.
Just finds all your unhealthy coping mechanisms and makes them stronger.
Yes, that's what I need to figure
that's
out.
That's what you need.
I don't have a YouTuber to start a fight with today. I haven't seen any bad YouTube videos. I guess I've been busy, but I'm sure I'll find another one. I do really tell you what. Here's someone I could actually. I do really hate Joe Rogan, so that could be an option.
But yeah, he sucks.
You know, like I feel like that's too easy. Like there's enough people. I need to be a pioneer in my hatred of someone. You know.
Yeah, you need to hate somebody.
So I'll work
new.
On that.
That's how you really
I'll
blow
figure
up
it
too.
Out. Yeah.
I gotta say, I've been kind of off my YouTube drama grind. But I had a phase, I don't know if it's a phase, if it's years, but where I was really into YouTube drama of like people that I had never even heard of before, but I would just see a video that's like crazy beef between Miss Kitten and some guy's name. What? Why do I can't think? I'm not an improv person. I can't think of people's names. But it would be like two people I've never heard of by another channel I've never heard of making a drama video about them, and I would eat that shit up.
Do you remember any of the particular communities that you liked? Like, do you? Because, you know, nowadays the only one I can think of is like there's kind of like the Ludwig adjacent community. You know, like Ludwig and what's her face and what's her face and what's his face. And then there's like the other one. Oh God, I don't remember these people, but they all have like little names. You know, like cute little teen names or whatever.
They do have little
names. we could beef with them. I'm not a fan of actually really most of those people. Well, I don't know.
I don't have a problem with them.
But, you know, like, I feel like a lot of them are very mean-spirited in a way that I don't appreciate. Like, but they always end up coming up into my shorts. And I'm like, get these freaking people out of here, these weirdos. They're always, like, playing bad game shows and being bad at them and not being funny at all. And just, I don't know. It feels bad. But if I remember some of their, I'll do some Googling and try to find these people that I don't like, and then I'll make fun of them next week.
Think
and then
on it. Think on it and do some research and come back with who you're starting beef with.
Okay. I might just
That's
do Ludwig.
Assignment.
He seems like an easy target.
Yeah. I mean, sure.
Like, cause he seems nice, you know? So I feel like he would,
yeah, okay.
he would acquiesce.
Wait. Yeah. I can't wait for you to start beef with Ludwig next pod and then two pods from then. Take it all completely back.
Yeah. I'm just saying, if we go to VidCon and I don't get into a physical altercation, it wasn't worth it.
Have you got into a physical altercation?
I have been attacked. I have never attacked back.
Yeah. So you're contradicting yourself here.
I want to just be attacked is what I'm saying.
Yeah. There's like a violent, angry, fantasy version of yourself that you've got in your head, I think.
Maybe. Probably.
And
Goggins.
Really, you're just a nice guy at the end of the day, to your shame.
Whatever. The fact that I want to say that you're wrong, but I did just a moment ago say, like, basically, quote, I think I was too mean to Mr. Beast.
Exactly. Mr. Beast of all people. There's not a lot of, you know, I try to be neutral about a lot of people. There's not a lot of people that I will straight up, like, just dunk on and say is a bad person. But I feel total confidence in saying that about Mr. Beast. I don't give an
F. I'm gonna do some research, and if you're right, I'll tell you. And if you're wrong, I'm not gonna say anything because I think people would get mad at me if I decided I didn't hate Mr. B.
It's also like that's the level of big where we will definitely never interact with him. So there's no consequences to anything I'm saying.
I will say I'm not gonna say who, but I have had brief contact with one of the people who is a part of those videos. So. Could happen, man.
On the Beast crew?
He could be on the pod eventually. And you know what? I welcome him with open arms as long as he can give us a lot of
money.
You're
going to be one of these fanboys that is going to...
Listen, wait. Pitch. Me and you. Solitary confinement. 7 days. Come on. There's a video. It'd be so funny. It would be really funny. I'm just saying, put us in touch with Beast. With Jim.
You want to do it... With Mr. Beast.
I want him to be the host. Yeah, I want to be in a Mr. Beast video.
No, I do want to mention, because the concept of what happens to you in solitary confinement is interesting. I'm not going to deny that, like, I'm human and that sounds like a entertaining video to me. But who did it really well was Vsauce when he had his, like, more highly produced show that I'm forgetting the name of. He did like a show, I think it was still on YouTube, but it was like more of an actual TV show with a budget. I watched all of it. I loved that show. And he did an episode where he was in solitary confinement, but like obviously compared to Mr. Beast, it was a much better run experiment. And it was really interesting. So if you're interested in that concept, but you don't want to support Mr. Beast, watch the Vsauce one. Cause that would
be
awesome.
Yeah, what was that called? It was like Minefield or something. Mind something?
Mind was in the title. But
Vsauce is really, he's a legend. We could never attack Vsauce, I feel like, probably. Maybe we can, I don't know.
No, there's no dirt on Vsauce.
I don't want there to be. If there is and you have dirt, shut your mouth.
Yeah, if there is, don't tell us about it. We'll be hearing blissful ignorance. about Vsauce.
That's what I want to be. Okay, you wanna? What do you? You got any thing to talk about this week?
What else is going on?
I feel like that whole thing was unplanned. Everything we've talked about so far. So, do you have anything or no?
Just shit going on in my life, I don't know where the time is going. I'm just like doing so much every day, but then I'm doing nothing. I am working on a video. I swear to God, I'm gonna film probably the conclusion of it today after this pod. But I've been dealing with a lot of business stuff, man. I'm wondering how much of this you even do, or if I'm overcomplicating things for myself. Because I'm doing things like getting a proper business bank account and a business credit card for my merch stuff, mainly. And it's so complicated, and I'm having to, like, have phone calls with the bank all the time. And, like, tell them all these numbers that I have to look up what the numbers even mean. Like, what's the difference between a gross and a net income? And I just don't... Everything that I do related to, like, having a small business... Because I have, like... I run the merch store completely myself. Because I'm crazy and decided to do that. I could have just had, like, a Spreadshirt store or something like everybody else and not dealt with all this shit. But it's like an actual like small business owned by me, and I have to like register it and all this stuff. And I just keep thinking it's so complicated, like all my taxes and all this like bank stuff. I'm like, how is it possible that every random person like selling candles on Etsy is doing this? I feel like a lot of people must just be doing it wrong or like under the table and not actually doing what they're supposed to do, because I'm looking everything up and doing it how I'm supposed to, and it's taking so much time.
Yeah. Well, the good news, I mean, in terms of, I think doing it the way that you're doing it, right? Which is you should have a separate bank account for the business money that's coming in above a certain threshold, obviously, which you may or may not even be at. You might be doing it a little bit prematurely, but you should have a business bank account. It's not bad to have a business credit card because it just makes tracking your expenses way easier.
Yeah.
As opposed to having to individually every single receipt. For which you still technically have to do, obviously, but like it just keeps it all separate and it's kind of nice. So when you're talking about taxes and stuff, I think what most people do is they just, because as long as you give the IRS the right amount of money, kind of beyond that, if you don't get audited, it's like not, you know, as long as you end up giving them the right amount of money. How well you organize everything on your end is kind of up to you to a certain extent.
Yeah.
Not legally. You obviously need to have your receipts and some whatever. But I bet most people just like take all the income, take a third of it, and then at the end of the year, type in, you know, uncategorized income into TurboTax and then just pay the amount that it says to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's, you can get away with doing that. There's detriments to it, but... phone calls with the bank is interesting. I would have figured because when I set up my business bank account, it was all online when I did it. I tried to do it with two separate local banks and they both ghosted me. So now I just did an actual big bank and they did it perfectly.
I am doing it with a local credit union and it is like weirdly difficult to get a hold of them.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Like, you can apply for other, like I applied for a personal credit card online, but not, you can't do any of the business stuff online.
Yep.
And then apparently the only way they do it is over the phone, because I finally got a contact that I could email, because email is so much easier. If you're calling me, I'm like, I could be streaming or something.
Yep.
And I was emailing about the business credit card and she's like, okay, well you have to apply for that as that's technically a business loan and you have to contact our business loan department and they don't do anything in person. Cause I was like, can I just make an appointment and come in and I'll bring all my papers and we can just do it at a specified time. And she's like, they just do everything over the phone. So it depends on me literally waiting by my phone for this man from the bank to call me, which just seems crazy to me. So it's taken, I think, 3 weeks from when I started trying to get the business account to now when I still don't have the credit card yet. I'm still waiting on them to figure that out.
It is one of those things that's a real pain because, like, you always want to go with the most, like, you want to keep your money in your community and with your local the credit unions and stuff as much as you can. But the service from these places is genuinely so much more work. And it's pretty hard to look that in the face and be like, I'm just going to do a fuckload more work.
I don't really get it. Like, why don't they just have an online portal where you can make an appointment? Even if I could just make an appointment for the phone call. But it just seems like every time I've had to contact them about the business stuff, it's like the first time anybody's tried to do this and they don't know how to handle it.
It might be because everyone just goes with the other ones because like the demand may just be that low that they haven't even bothered. And I'm sure at the end of the day, the big banks are somehow to blame. But it is pretty frustrating. I've still managed to maintain my personal bank account with like a local credit union place, but
yeah, I love a credit union in concept, but,
in concept,
it's a little bit hit or miss though with the service. I know I was at a student credit union at UPenn, which, you know, shout out any UPenn students. You probably know the one I'm talking about. And, it was run essentially by undergraduate students. So
I'm sure it was really good.
I think they would have like one adult there and then everybody else would be students. And I remember I was trying to buy a freaking Nintendo Switch. When the Switch came out, was it when it came out or a little bit later? I don't know. I was trying to buy...
That would have been 2017, so...
Like... And that for me in college was a big purchase because it was like $300 or something. And I had no money. But my debit card at this student credit union, for some reason, not even a credit card. I didn't have a credit card. It was a debit card and it had a daily limit or like a transaction limit on it that was like $200. So I could not buy this Nintendo Switch with my debit card unless I like figured it out with them first. And I kid you not, and I was aware of the limit, so I told them beforehand, I called them, and was like, I'm about to make this purchase of Nintendo Switch and just, like, let it go through or whatever. They were like, yeah, no problem. Every single time, the undergrad student that was answering the phone or helping me was like, yes, absolutely, I know what you're talking about, and I've approved it, and it's going to be fine. I had to attempt to buy this Switch five times.
It's crazy.
Every single time I would tell them ahead of time, I would say, hey, tried to buy the Switch, didn't work, can you make it work this time? And they would full confidence would say to my face, yes, it's going to work this time. Every single time did not work. I had to keep coming back like every single day. And then finally the only thing that helped was the last time I went in there, I told them, hey, I've been in here like four times for this problem. And they finally went in the back and got the adult, and the adult figured it out.
Because it's just one thing. Like, it's never complicated. It's just a lack of communication, probably from the adult, to be honest. Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
Who knows? Those people at UPenn, kind of weird. So, you know, they might have just not known what they were doing. But
yeah.
It always surprises me when a small business has the customer service of, like, the worst, like, Walmart. You know what I mean? Because there's, like, a curve, I feel like, where... You remember when Chipotle happened and like it was a small business and then it like started getting big and there was this sweet spot in there where it was like, this is the greatest American business that's ever been started. Chipotle was so good.
As far as I know, Chipotle just came into being as a huge corporate thing.
Maybe I just lived closer to where it started, but like there was a sweet spot where Chipotle was the perfect American business. It was affordable. The service was always good. It was always clean. It was open late. And the food quality was consistent. And then it's like, we should stop there, you know? Because then inevitably you get so big.
Yeah, just stay the same. Apart.
You should just get a little big. Because I feel like there's this effect where like, if you have really good customer service and stuff and you're a really good place, there's going to be some natural amount that the business will want to expand and then stop. And the problem is we get to that point and then we push it because we want to be able to sell to everyone in the entire world. And I think we should stop in the middle because it's so annoying to not be able to go somewhere. But then there's on the other end, these businesses that are, like you said, are really small because nobody there knows what's going on. And they're pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think the student credit union was a matter of high turnover because it's like students that are there for a limited number of years, and they're just doing this part-time, and so it's in a perpetual state of everybody there is new.
So why didn't you just get a bank account? Or like a bank thing? Or like a normal credit union place?
I don't know, I think I grew up, like, when I was a teenager, I had an account at the local credit union, and then that's just, like, what I knew to do when I went to college.
What even is the difference between a credit union and a bank?
I think just that they're not, I mean, I could be wrong. I think it's that they're not trying to make a profit like banks are. They're just, like, there to serve the community.
Interesting. So they just, like, how do they pay the people who work there?
I don't know anything about bank finances. I'm not even going to speculate.
That's fine. I'll Google that this week, too, then.
They have some kind of fees and stuff sometimes.
Yeah, but basically the idea is, like, they don't have shareholders or, like, an executive team or
exactly,
anything.
Exactly, think that, that's what it is.
Yeah, except the one adult who works there who actually knows how to do things.
Yeah.
All right, well, that's interesting.
Anyway, so that was just a big rant about me having to call the bank, essentially. It's just something I find
annoying.
Myself doing a lot these days that I just never want to do.
Yeah, it's a big pain. It's not, being a YouTuber is still the greatest job ever, obviously, but, you know, it's not
of
without
course,
its annoyances.
Yeah, but that's, yeah, this is not really part of being a YouTuber, though. It's just, and it's temporary,
it
hopefully, once I get all this shit figured out.
Well, if you get to a certain point, you can just pay people to do it.
Exactly.
And then they're getting money, too. Congratulations
to
them.
That's the ideal. I need to hire an assistant that will just do everything. They need to have, like, every skill in the world, and they're going to deal with all of my finance stuff, and they're going to edit clips for me, and help me plan my videos, and it'll just be one person that can
unironically,
do all these things.
Once a week, I say that out loud to somebody. Because I say, you know what I need? I just need an assistant.
Exactly.
Who anytime I need anything, I can just say, hey, how about this? And then they do it. Hey, can you pick this up for me? Hey, I've got to be on a call at this time. Hey, this person wants to do a this. Talk to my assistant. And then I, you know, and then I never do it. Because that type of thing doesn't actually exist very easily. Maybe it does. But you probably got to have a lot of money to do that.
And you also have to find the exact right person, I feel like. Because as soon as I have to train them at all, I'm going to be annoyed. Like, you need to just know how to do it.
Okay.
Everything.
You're never going to find an assistant.
I know.
This is a 0% chance. That's one thing I learned in food services.
Yeah,
like,
I'm just too picky.
Training is
the
most underrated thing. You can train anyone to do anything, but you do have to be a good teacher and a good trainer and patient. And that's hard.
Right. I think
it's
hard
to do.
I think I can be a good teacher, but it just takes all of my time. And then I'm not doing what I actually should be doing as my job.
I very much relate to that. I like teaching
people. I'm not tricky. I don't hate it. I enjoy teaching, obviously. I trained for that, but I just get annoyed when I can't, like, focus on what I want to focus on. Anyway.
Yep.
I'm spending too much time complaining about being a YouTuber when really I just sit here and be silly.
That's a good way to get people to hate
you,
I feel like. Is like having the job that everyone wants and being like, this sucks.
Because it doesn't suck. I'm literally talking about a couple weeks of making some phone calls. I just thought it was funny that my bank is so seemingly, maybe not incompetent, but it just really is like it's the first time anybody has asked them these questions.
You should ask them if it is. Just ask them how many. That's
Am I the
first
only
question
business?
Before.
Am I the only
you should
business
call
account?
Before, the very first question you should have asked is how many businesses bank with you.
Yeah.
And when they say none, you should go to someone else. It's also too bad because, like, so much stuff is no longer, like, you know, when you have a local bank, it's like, then if you're in another place and you need to, like, withdraw money or do whatever, then it's like becomes a whole thing.
Anyway,
did you see any good comments last week? It was only like 2 days ago that the episode went up, so it hasn't been up very long. But
it was yesterday, in fact.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
Yesterday
really, we've got
morning.
3,600 viewers.
I do
want to
shout
day.
Out our pod viewers, man. Everybody's just so nice. I don't really have anything more specific to say, but everybody's really nice in our comments.
Some of them are a little rude. I think. I'm not going to say any names.
I think the vast majority of people are just very cool and nice, and I think
I would agree.
I've said this before, but I appreciate doing the pod because we just do it every week. And even if I feel like I was a little off or I wasn't that funny that day or something, I can see that the audience does not really care as much as I do. And I think it's healthy for me to just like make content anyway, kind of no matter how I'm feeling. And then it's received the same anyway. I don't know. It feels like some kind of lesson to me.
Does that say something about the judiciousness of our viewers? Like,
maybe they just have no standards.
Right. Yeah. It's like, no matter what I do, they just love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's probably a double-edged sword there, but I do really appreciate, and I think I will grow to appreciate, having a regular outlet to connect with those people.
Yeah.
These people in the comments.
It is nice.
Because they, you know, have you know, they really do catch on to like the little things. You notice that?
Mm-hmm.
These people really, they're paying attention. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They're really paying attention. The inside jokes. People are, you just did the mm-hmm twice in a row and people are already calling you out for that. And you just did it.
I really never realized until that episode when we talked about it that I could sound sarcastic when I'm doing that. I promise it's always genuine. I need to think of more like filler words I can say that sound sincere.
I think that mm-hmm is nice. I think we all like it.
I think I'm just trying to be unobtrusive because I want you to know I'm still listening, but I don't want to actually say a word because I don't want to interrupt you. It's part of my interrupting complex, I guess.
Okay. Yeah, I think you should keep it.
Don't worry about it. Something interesting is just the way that's different in different cultures. I had a whole lesson in my Japanese class when I went for a month studying the language. We did a whole lesson about... what did they call it? It's not filler words, because that's when you're talking and you're stalling. But it's like words that you say to respond to somebody to tell them you're listening.
Yes.
And that's just way more common in Japanese. And I would notice that when I would have conversations with Japanese people, is that they're constantly like interrupting me to say like, yeah, yes. I get mm-hmm. it. Or isn't that yes. true? Or whatever. Like
yes.
they say actual mm-hmm. like words.
Absolutely. For sure.
Exactly.
That's so true.
And
that's
to
crazy.
Me,
yeah.
as an American, that sounds
absolutely, no doubt.
So like obtrusive and annoying.
I couldn't agree more.
Stop.
Listen, see, it's really annoying. They shouldn't do that. That's the only thing the Japanese are objectively wrong about.
But they really do. They do it a lot. And like to them, it means that they're just listening. Like they feel listened to if that's happening to them. But to me, I'm like, you're derailing my train of thought by interrupting me every 2 seconds to say yes.
That maybe explains why they talk so much in anime. I feel like every time I watch anime, I'm like, geez, all these people are trying to talk all the time at the same time.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess I don't watch a lot of anime. I'm not sure. But I think those kind of things don't happen as much in movies anyway, because people are so much more, because in a script, you're much more concise about saying exactly what you need to say and then having a dialogue because it's not a real conversation. But this is like when somebody's telling a long story, the other person will be like, yeah. Oh, wow. Oh, I would never believe that. Oh, that makes sense. Like constantly, like every few words, it feels like, and it feels crazy rude to me. I was explaining in my class to the Japanese teacher. I was like, yeah, if you did that to me in English in America, I would assume you wanted me to shut up as soon as possible. Because you're like,
What did they say to that? Were they just like, yeah, different cultures?
They like laughed, like, because it's just different. They don't see it like that at all.
But here,
I feel like if you're interrupting the person every sentence to say then you just like are trying to exit. You're trying to leave.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. I have noticed
I'm
that when you do
like, even when you're doing that as a joke, I'm getting so pissed at you.
Have you noticed that when if you do a like a podcast where you can't see the other person's face, I feel like I use those words to indicate like, it's almost like the equivalent of the body language if we were doing in person.
That's true,
of like,
yeah.
I'm going to say something or something, but it's like such a delicate balance because when you're listening to it, it sounds like interrupting a lot, but there's no other way for me to indicate like that I'm listening and that
that's true.
That
we
I
need
might
to
have
do...
something to say.
We need to do an experiment if we ever do an in-person episode of the pod, if I even do the mm-hmm as much, because I'm not sure if I would, if I can like just smile and nod, which is what I would usually do.
Okay, well,
maybe
let's
that's
do an
artifact of the podcast format.
I've noticed it a little bit, and it's part of why I do find podcasts that are recorded remotely slightly more annoying to listen to than ones that are recorded in person. It's just these little subtle things. Video calls work a little better because you can, like, you know, you see each other's body language, but it's still not perfect.
I think we're doing pretty well.
I agree. I think this is a great... This is shaping up to be one of the greatest...
Do you listen to any podcasts?
Chat pods.
Besides this one?
I think so, yeah. Let me open up my podcast thing. Let's see. Not with much regularity. Like, one of the only... This is so bad. One of the only podcasts I listen to with regularity...
Exposed.
Is an air traffic controller podcast. Where it's these two guys who were both, like, pilots and air traffic controllers for a really long time. And they just, like, talk about aviation and stuff. That's, like, one of the only ones I listen to regularly. It's called Opposing Bases, if anyone has an interest in...
Gotcha.
Goofy air traffic controllers talking about how funny their job is.
I love a podcast, but I don't listen to any... I don't listen to any podcasts that are just podcasts, if that makes sense. I listen to podcasts made by creators that I watch on other platforms.
Well, that's... I think someone in the comments had said that, like... I'd have to look it up to figure it out, but...
Like, I would never just browse the podcast section and pick something.
Yep. It's... I've done that, and every time the podcasts are bad. Mostly just because I think you aren't... You don't know the people, and that's so much of what liking a podcast is about.
Yeah.
And so you need kind of like an in with the personality.
Exactly.
Which is why it's nice to do one.
It's long form, like I feel like you have to have some interest in the person to even listen to an hour of them talking.
Yes, that's one of the interesting differences between YouTube and podcasts. It's like on YouTube, when you log into YouTube, it's pretty likely you will watch, well, maybe not for everybody, but most people don't go to their subscriptions page on YouTube and then watch whatever the people they followed have put up, which actually put a pin in that because I have thoughts on that. Most people go to the homepage and just see whatever's coming up. So there's way higher likelihood of you engaging with someone you've never talked to before or like heard from before.
Mm-hmm.
But you would never do that with a podcast. Like,
no.
When you would just never do that. Just click on a podcast.
Somebody does.
Never heard,
you
no
know
way.
What? Every time I log into our podcast, like Spotify account, it's trying to advertise to me about like, you should market your podcast more because 30% of podcast listeners just find the podcast on Spotify. And I'm like, how can that be true?
I'd be pretty skeptical of
people
that.
People just click around on Spotify and find a podcast and start listening to it. That's like alien to me.
Not this podcast.
Right, not this one.
Maybe like one of those podcasts where it's like famous people talking to other people. Like that, maybe that works.
I don't know.
Like those interview podcasts. But you want to know a really funny thing? With all the shorts we've been putting up, all of the shorts that we have put up over the last like 3 months, all of them combined, I think have gotten us, last I checked, it was 4 subscribers. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, I've heard that YouTube shorts basically does not convert at all to people watching the long-term videos.
Yes, which then I was talking to that editor. I was like, so what then is the point of shorts? Because the main thing I can see is it helps us deepen the connection to the listeners we have, because it like we can accent like the mm-hmm that you do, we turn that into a short, and then it kind of deepens its status as a meme in the community, right? But I don't know that it has any huge like tangible analytic benefit, right? And I was curious if you had any thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean,
like, do you use shorts for anything, TikToks, anything like that? Do you have any like?
I used to put more effort into editing clips for TikTok.
Oh yeah, because you did quite a bit of that for a little bit.
Yeah, I was like pretty inconsistent about it. It was like every other video I would remember to do that, and I would make a couple clips and post them on TikTok, which. Is one of the things I would want to have my imaginary perfect assistant do, because it's just boring to me, and it takes up time to like edit clips instead of just making new content that I want to make. But I did, when I was really small, I noticed some of those would get decent views and then I would get more subscribers from that. But I don't think in general it works that well. It works better if your fans are making clips of you, because people don't want to feel like they're being advertised to by the channel. They want to feel like they discovered something and other people like it too. I think they're missing out on a community or something. Yeah, I think there's a lot of value in like them coming across a clip and seeing it's posted by a fan account and there's all these comments and they're like, oh, like a lot of people like this person. Maybe I would like them too. Versus if you see somebody post their own clip, you're like, oh, they're just trying to get clout or whatever.
Yes, I totally agree. And I've noticed that in my own scrolling is like, it feels cool to see a clip of someone from a random account in a way that it really doesn't from the person who actually is in the clip. So I think what we should do is we should tell all of our followers to make clips. And if any of them get a lot of views, you'll pay them a bunch of money.
I mean, that's a thing now. Are you aware that that's actually a thing people do?
Wait, hey, everyone make clips. And if yours gets a million views,
that's like $1,000. As of the last 6 months or so, that's a thing that creators are doing, is they're essentially paying fans to make fan accounts and clips of them.
That feels a little bit Roblox exploitation-esque to me. I have to think about it, though. It might be fine.
Yeah, there's nothing like
but
immediately...
But something about that strikes me as a little weird.
It is. It's just a little bit weird. There's nothing, I guess, immediately morally wrong with that. I think what I don't love about it is that you're treating it kind of like a contest. It's the ones that blow up that you're paying. So there's other people that are doing work in hopes of winning, but then they don't. And I don't
like
it's the
ethics of that. But it is a merit. It's a merit-based contest, which we do allow legally, right? Like, hey, you can submit your science project to the science contest, and if you win, you get money. That's a thing. But also, honestly, what it should probably be is... Oh, that's really tough. I'd have to think about that. Because it just feels weird to me to be like, yes, everybody do a bunch of work to grow me. And I'll give you some... you know what? It honestly just depends on how much you're paying.
That's it?
Kinda. Because like if someone has a clip that goes really viral and it gets you, you know, 10,000 more viewers, and those 10,000 viewers watch you for 3 years and generate, you know, well, actually, 10,000 viewers for 3 years would generate you like $500. So maybe it's not as much of a thing as you would think. But just that relationship between like, you're going to do this work to generate this much money for me, and I'm going to give you a small portion of that amount of money.
Yeah.
Feels weird. Like it needs to be more commensurate with the benefit.
It's the same thing as, you know, when like, brands or restaurants or whatever will be like, we're having a video contest, make a video about our product and you have a chance to win $1,000 or whatever. That's the same thing. They're saying like, it's going to end up being like a mass marketing campaign because they're getting all these people to make videos and then they're only paying for one of them. So it's like a little bit, you're just trying to like advertise as cheaply as possible. And feels a little weird to me, I think, because fans of creators will do it because they really like the creator and they want to get noticed or whatever, and I don't like that feeling.
That's tricky.
So I don't know. I don't necessarily think it's totally wrong, the people that are doing it, and I also think that if it becomes a really common thing, then people are just going to end up feeling the same way they do about people posting clips on their own account. Like I said, it's going to feel less cool if you're kind of aware that this is a thing people do, is pay fan accounts to make clips. So you're going to become suspicious of all the clips you ever see. So
that's true.
I don't know what the result is going to be. You know, I always prefer to get viewers naturally, I guess. And I think YouTube is one of the few platforms that still gives enough of an even chance to everybody. I feel like I think the YouTube recommendation system is more fair than other social medias.
And super agree.
They treat their creators better than a lot of social medias.
Have you ever looked at that chart that's like the the payout structure from YouTube versus other platforms and like the percentage of the revenue that YouTube's giving
like
to you.
YouTube is like way better, yeah. Than,
it's unbelievable. Yeah. And they have AdSense and they've been building AdSense for like decades. So that's their big, but like compared to everywhere else, like the amount of money you can make on YouTube and the amount of like, if you make good content, the amount of views you can get is like pretty, I mean, you have to curate things to some extent, but yeah, YouTube is still the, by far the best platform for actually building a, it's just like a thing, you mm-hmm. know?
I think okay. we've been talking for a long time, so.
I love it.
I'm going to do something crazy and just, should I just say goodbye and then not even cut anything off? I always cut it off at the end. Maybe we'll just say goodbye normally for the first time
and
ever.
And just keep talking?
No, like end it, because do you listen to the end of the podcast?
I don't know. I don't listen to any of the podcasts.
But you don't.
I scroll through the comments and I pay my editor to watch the podcast and find the shorts.
Oh.
And that's how I learn what happened in the podcast.
So you don't see anything extra I do in editing?
Are you doing extra things in editing?
Barely.
I did see someone
I'll zoom in on things sometimes.
How much work it is for you to do the shot reverse shot?
At the end, I always... I cut one of us off in the middle of a sentence.
Wow, that's really fun.